Pretty soon we're going to take our coats off, we're going to take our ties off, and we're going to really get down to business.
Is that better?
Let's do it.
All right, y'all ready? We'll see. Guys ready? Thank you.
condemn thee, precious words divine. From the lips of mercy, like the sweetest shine. Wonderful words of Jesus, sing them o'er and o'er. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no
said, go and sin no more. All of that goes together. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Titus chapter 2. We'll get there momentarily. Back a few months ago, John Woodward approached me. John has been given a responsibility of being over the chaplains there, Virginia State Police. And they were having an in-service training that would be given there December the 5th. And he asked me if I'd be willing to take two sessions and speak there to the chaplains of the Virginia State Police. And I said I would. I prayed, and you know, my life verse there has to do with part of that prayer is to widen the borders of my opportunities. And so this is an opportunity I thought that I might not get to speak to these guys again, I'll take that opportunity and share with them. But John gave me a little bit of instruction about what he wanted me to cover, and there were two sessions, as I said. And the first one, the topic was a challenge to committed service. Again, these were chaplains, and the ones that were there that did make it to the program there, I believe every one of them were believers. And the other one subject was dealing with grief. And, of course, they have to deal with that quite a bit and things that they are having to deal with. I explained as I stood before them that I had two sons that are troopers, myself, one in Maryland and one here in Goochland. And I explained to them that as John had asked me to share and thinking about this first topic there, I began to consider what are some characteristics that I would like to see in my sons as troopers. And I think that would give a good thing as to what I should see or want to see in them as troopers as well. And as the Lord started giving me that message, I began to think, Lord, this would be a good message for here at church. And so I have redone it a bit. Of course, there's a few things, the way I speak to them as troopers and the way I'll speak to you here as far as illustration, etc., that I might use a little differently. And I've added one other area
that will come under this particular topic. But I came up with this particular subject and titled it Beatitudes That Produce A-Plus Actions. There's a play on words there. Beatitudes that produce A-plus actions. You know, Jesus gave the Beatitudes there in Matthew chapter 5. Now, it's not a message on Matthew chapter 5 there, but the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 are character attitudes that affect behavior. And these are Beatitudes, things that we are to be that should affect our actions, our behavior, in a great way. And so I want us to understand and look at it that way. There are many of them out there, by the way. For instance, we are to be committed. We are to be joyful, patient, forgiving. We're to be authentic, not hypocrites. We're to be obedient, etc. All of these are character attitudes there that should affect the way we behave, the way that we act, what we do. What are some of the characteristics that God wants to see in you this next year? Here we are, for all practical purposes, entering into the next year and thinking about what does God want. And many people start out great, but they don't always finish up great. My question to you today is, as you finish up this year today, have you looked back over this past year and evaluated? Is your walk with the Lord today better than your walk with the Lord your first week of 2017? Hopefully you have grown. Hopefully you are finishing up this year in a closer and a better walk with the Lord than when you first began. But that's the things that we need to evaluate. I've chosen four attitudes that I believe are important for every Christian to have, that we should strive for. Four things to be in order to produce A-plus actions, an A-plus behavior. Father, I pray that as we look into your word today and as we see these particular characteristics, these attitudes that we are to have, that we are to be, Father, I pray that as we are confronted with this, that we would make sure that we have these things in our life in order to affect the way that we behave ourselves, the way that we conduct our lives, the actions that we have in our life. And Father, I pray that you would make it very clear to us why it's important. Lord, through this, that we may be in this next new year Christians with a greater and more productive both testimony and service of pleasing you. And we'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. This first characteristic here is going to take the longest, so be patient with me as we go in. But it's one I think is the most important for us to look at first, and that is we are to be faithful. That should be a given, I would think, for us as believers as we look at this. But there is no questioning the importance of faithfulness in the lives of all believers, not just some, but every one of us. I think each one of us would and should have the goal to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that is something that is possible, but we have to have and we need to be faithful in our character. So what exactly is faithfulness? What is it that God wants us to be faithful, and how do we do that in order to be faithful? Well, there are three things that I want to share with you that I believe that describe it some way. Faithfulness is, first of all, being and behaving consistently in line with what is expected of you. Now, what is expected of you first by God himself, and also what is expected of you from man. People have an expectation of us. And are we faithful in their eyes when it comes to the expectations that people place upon us there? Certainly we want to be found faithful in our walk with the Lord. So in that category then, being faithful in our relationship with the Lord there, our communing with Him. Are you faithfully allowing God to speak to you through His Word? That takes getting into it. You know, we have a greater opportunity to commune with the Lord in His Word today through all kinds of devices, not just through His Bible that is held here, but in our phones. Many of you have Bibles on your phone, on your tablets, and your computers, etc. there, that's right before you, right with you, and you can pull it up in so many different ways and share or read of God's Word and allow God to speak to your hearts through that. Do you know one of the great battles that Satan throws our way is to use that same technology and possibility to distract us from taking the time to look into God's Word. We can read Facebook, and we can be on Instagram, and we can be surfing the Googling here and there of different things that we want to read about, etc. And before you know it, we've spent all kinds of time doing things that are not anything to do with God Himself. And yet we complain sometime and say, the reason I don't have my time with the Lord the way I should is I just don't have time. How do we deceive ourselves into thinking that? Certainly we're not deceiving God. I don't think we're really deceiving anybody else. So we need to be careful to understand, what are we doing in our relationship with the Lord? Are we faithful in communing with Him? Are we faithful in being obedient to Him, etc.? So being and behaving consistently in line with what God expects of us there, being faithful also in your earthly relationships. May I speak to you that are married right now, in your relationship as husband and wife, are you faithful to each other? Now, I'm not talking about you're not in the process of getting a divorce, or that you're not in the process of being in adultery actively, but I'm talking about, are you faithful to your spouse? Are you taking the time to get to know them? Do you know Scripture says, men, that we are to live with our wife according to knowledge? Do you ever think about what that means? And you've got to get to know her, what she likes, what she dislikes. What size ring fits on her finger? Those are the things in which we are to get to know of our spouse. And so faithfulness has much more to do in the relationship of husband and wife than just saying, hey, I'm going to be with you until we die, and I love you. I told you that when I married you. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. That type of mentality, don't cut it, as far as being faithful to that person. So we are to be faithful in a relationship with God. We're to be faithful in a relationship with our spouse, with our children. Parents, are you faithful in your relationship with your child, with your children? It breaks our heart to hear some of the stories we hear around Christmas. Here, just one that Vicki was telling me about, I think that she found there on Facebook, or somebody shared with her about it, was here at Walmart. A lady ran into another lady that was returning a lot of gifts that had been given through the angel tree and so forth. How that works there, and they give all these presents and so forth. Good people wanting to help children, and they give all these gifts, and the sorry parent takes them all back, goes to the store, and gets the money back so they can spend it on themselves. Now I know there's probably not a parent like that in this church. At least I better not find out about you. We have a responsibility to love, to provide for, to care for our children. And that means to the sacrificing of our own desires. But there is so much in this world today of selfishness that doesn't always take place. And even amongst some Christians, I'm sorry to say, we've got to be people that are faithful in that relationship. Faithful here is well in our job. Notice here what God says in Titus chapter 2 In verse 9, he says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters. Now, in Scripture, a lot of times when you see the servant-master relationship, it relates there to the employee-employer relationship that we have today. And here's one of those cases there that we as employees ought to be faithful to our employers there, to be obedient to them, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not talking back, not mouthing off, etc. there, not purloining, that means stealing, but showing all good fidelity. What is fidelity? It's faithfulness. Showing all good faithfulness to those that you work for. That is what God wants of us as believers. Now, I don't care whether they pay you $50 an hour or $5 an hour. And if it's your employer, God says you have a responsibility to be faithful unto them in your work. Why? Here's the purpose clause. That they, the employee, may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. That we may be a testimony of the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. He says it's unto Him that we're supposed to be doing it anyway. And that it adorns the doctrine of Jesus Christ there. To adorn means to make more appealing, to make something to look good. Hey, I'm interested in knowing more about this God that you have because I see the difference that it makes in your life. That's the type of testimony that we need to have with those that you work for as an employer. So we are to be faithful in our relationship to God. We're to be faithful in our earthly relationships. And we're to be faithful when it comes to our possessions that we have been given. Now, we spoke about that concerning even giving of our tithes and offerings. Have we been faithful over the past year? You know that every possession that we have it as a what? Starts with a S. It's called a steward. It's not ours to belong to us. We don't own it. God has entrusted it to us. And we have been made a steward of it. And what does God say in 1 Corinthians 4:2? That it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And so whatever we have been given, God says that He wants us to be found faithful in the handling of that in such a way that He would deem that you're faithful. Not only being and behaving consistently in line with what is inspected of you by God, by man, etc., but also reliability in regards to one's responsibilities. Faithfulness is being dependable there in service. Not just a paid job. Did you know that the majority of the work that is done in the church is done by volunteers? Do you know that there's actually been some Christians, I hope not in this church, but some Christians have had the mentality that, hey, I'm volunteering for this. They ought to be thankful that it gets done at all. That's good enough. Let me tell you something I shared a long time ago. That phrase, that's good enough, makes me sick. And I'm sure it makes God sick too. If we're doing it for the Lord, that's good enough, ain't it? But what does He say that we're to do it? With all of our heart, with all of our might, as unto the Lord and not unto men. And certainly when we look at service in the church here, that's evident. But that means service outside the church as well, even in your paid jobs. Doing it as unto the Lord, not unto man. To do it with all of your heart. We are to be reliable, dependable in regards to our responsibilities. Also, faithfulness is a testimony. A testimony of faithfulness is obvious when it comes to God. We see His faithfulness. Matter of fact, over in Lamentations 3, we read about it. But notice what it says there in verse 22 of Lamentations 3. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." You know what mercy is? Say it out loud, Ashley. Let's add a little bit. But she's not giving what we deserve. Let's add to this, not getting the bad that we do deserve, okay? We deserve the judgment from God. And when He has mercy upon us, He holds back that judgment from us that we deserve. That's mercy. He says there that it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. Great, they are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. God's faithfulness is seen as His mercy that He gives to us every day. His faithfulness is seen in His compassion, His love, the feelings there that He has toward us in that great way. And it's seen every day. Great is His faithfulness. But a testimony of faithfulness is also looked for in those of us that follow the Lord. You remember Paul told Timothy there in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, that the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to what kind of men? To faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul said, "Hey, I found you, Timothy, a young man that I thought would be faithful. I have poured myself into you, and I'm teaching you now to go find other men that are faithful men and pour yourself into them and mentor them that they too may find other people that will be faithful that they can teach also." Now, what does that not say? It does away with this mentality. Well, maybe if we give so-and-so a position of responsibility, they'll start being more faithful. That is not biblical. That is not what God honors, nor what He does. Matter of fact, Jesus said this to be true: if He is not faithful in the little, He will not be faithful in the much. You know, the mentality that a person says, you know, if I made a lot of money, I'd be able to tithe, is a lie. They're deceiving themselves. Because if you're not faithful in tithing with the little bit that you've got, Jesus said, you won't be faithful in tithing if I were to give you a lot. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be faithful with what we do have. Responsibility-wise, possession-wise, etc. Are we going to be found faithful in God's eyes? You know, faithfulness, when it is judged by man, is called a testimony there, a reputation, what we are known for. But testimony, when it is judged by God, is known as character, what we really are on the inside. Wow, who's that clock? I ain't even got off the first point here. I may have to make his two messages. That's why we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 where Samuel was sent to anoint the next king after Saul, and it was going to be King David, and he was sent to the sons of to look at the sons of Jesse. And when the first one came before him there, he looked kind of like Saul, tall and brawny young man. And he thought, man, this has got to be him. And God made the statement there, "The Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And there are two things that are true in that statement there that we need to understand. One, because God looks on the heart, the inside, we should seek to be faithful in His eyes with our attitudes, our character. These attitudes that produce A-plus actions. He sees the attitudes that are on the inside. He sees what we are really in our character. these character traits. And because man looks on the outward appearance, then we should seek to be found faithful in man's eyes, in what man sees, our actions, our behavior. So both our attitude and our actions are to be judged faithful by God and by man, because God sees on the inside our heart, and man can only see on the outside our actions. And we cannot say, you know, I know that he's not acting too good right now, but he has a good heart. We don't know that. We can only see the actions. And Jesus said that whatever is on the inside of a man is going to come out. Whatever the real you is on the inside will eventually be seen in action or reaction on the outside. Remember I told you a long time ago that I can tell more about a person by playing basketball with them for a half hour than I can with sitting in church for months? I can't do that anymore. That is, play basketball for a half hour. but the truth is there. Because when a person is in a situation where they react, see, anybody can sit in church and behave themselves. I can, you know, you can sit in church and not tell the dirty joke. You can sit in church and not even curse, if you're careful. You can sit in church and smile and say everything's good. You can sit in church and shake people's hands as they come by. But when you get out into the pressure of a situation and you react, your guard is down. And what you react, like, that is you. That's coming from the inside. That Jesus said will work its way out. I learned that the hard way as a teenager. I'm going to have to make this in two messages. Don't worry. But many years ago, I told this testimony that when I was a teenager in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, I was one of the leaders of our youth group. There was three of us stooges together, Billy and Ann and myself, that were leaders in our youth group. Billy and Ann went through a period where they fell away from the Lord a little bit, and they started, with their language, started getting a little bad. What they were listening to in music wasn't helping a bit, And I started, I was a good little boy, though. Little boy, 16, 17 years old at that point, probably. But we were playing basketball out in the church parking lot. Not on a Sunday. They'll meet up there on a Saturday or whatever. After school one day, we just go out and play and talk. They were kicking around some words, and I didn't ever say that word. Until Sunday morning in my teen Sunday school class, out came that word in the middle of a class. Out of my mouth, I said that. You talk about being embarrassed. There was nothing that I could hide under. My youth pastor, Frank Hamrick, had told me, what you listen to, you'll find yourself repeating. It affects you. And I learned it. And the same thing can happen in your life. If we're not careful, what's on the inside that we have watched, that we have listened to, that we have told ourselves, I can handle this, it's not going to affect me. At the point of which we would never think, and never plan for it to come out, it's going to happen. Jesus said, what's on the inside of man, that's what shows itself to come out. We've got to make sure that we are faithful on the inside and that we are faithful on the outside. What God sees and what man sees. A challenge to faithfulness. There are two last verses I share with you as we close right here with this particular thought. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 29, it says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. All right, from that verse right there, God is speaking to us about being wise, and the way that we're wise, that we would not just consider what's going on right now, but we would look down the road as far as we can and consider the end. Let's talk about the year. You began last January. Did you ever think about what you would be like here at the end if you made it that far? Are you today what you wanted to be as you looked at your latter end, or did you not look at your latter end? Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. You compile that with Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is it then to end up 2017 with a walk that is faithful before the Lord than to have started out that way and not made it to the end in faithfulness. So with that in mind, as you think about tomorrow, and if the Lord allows us to live into this next year, how do we want to begin 2018? And if the Lord allows us to live all the way to the end of 2018, how will we end next December 31st? Better is the ending, it should be, than the beginning. Our goal for this next year ought to be, Lord, help me to start out and to continue and to press on in faithfulness unto you in 2018. What kind of example are you in faithfulness? Every head bow, please. Beatitude that produces an A-plus action. It does not matter very much what I judge you to be right now in your seat. Doesn't matter too much from man's judgment today. But it does matter a great deal what God judges. What man judges, even though it's important because man looks on that outward appearance, it affects how they may live because they see your testimony. But God says He wants you to first clean the inside of the cup and the platter, that the outside may be clean also. So right now, what is the beatitude of faithfulness as God judges in your life? Are you faithful in your communing with Him? Are you faithful in your relationship as a spouse, as a parent, as a child to your parent? Young people, we didn't hit on that, but do you honor
and obey your parents? Are you faithful? Father, I pray for each one of us as we evaluate ourselves on this last day of the year, the last opportunity for us to meet together, that you may have done a work in our life to get our attention to look seriously at where we are. Father, my prayer and goal would be that each one of us, including myself, would be found faithful in your eyes today. And if not, may we repent and confess where we have failed. And ask, Lord, that you would help us to set before ourselves, by your power and help, the path that we need to be on for this next year, that we may end up faithful in your eyes and in the eyes of those that watch us. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.